listening to The Gatoraders, the official podcast of Gatorade.com. This is our 8th edition. My name is Joe Morgan, and with me, as always, are Griffin Tillis and Will Smith. Will Smith is here today as a man triumphant in a very, very dark time for the Gatoraders. So, Will, do you have anything to say for yourself?
I'm not exactly proud of myself, but I will say I told you so.
Very well.
Okay, Will. Yep. Always got to rub it in.
So, the SEC championship game will feature Auburn and South Carolina, but more importantly, it will feature Will's Gamecocks versus my Auburn Tigers for a much more important thing at stake, our bragging rights on this show.
I'm already out. I've just come to terms with that.
Yeah, Griffin, you know. We can't all finish last, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that.
One of us has to be in dead last. Yeah. But, all right. So on with the show, guys. Florida Gators, with the SEC East on the line, dropped a 36-14 egg at the Swamp Saturday. What are your thoughts, Will?
The first thing that popped into my mind when I saw the game ensuing kickoff, you know, Florida returns it for a touchdown. Every time I've seen that in sports, it is horrible for the team that gets it. Every time that happens, it results in sloppiness and overconfidence for the team that plays. Excuse me. Because, you know, they get that touchdown, they get that high, they think, you know, we're going to kick this team's butt. They aren't as good as we thought they were. They weren't as good as everyone hyped them up to be. You know, we got a touchdown on the very first play. How could they possibly beat us? So they get overconfident, they start playing without discipline, and then you see what happened last Saturday. They get their words shoved back into their mouths, and they just basically get manhandled. In addition, Steve Spurrier got his second win against Florida in his tenure at South Carolina, but it was pretty obvious that it was still kind of bothering him that he was on the opposite side of the sideline. Perhaps not afterward, but at halftime, a sideline reporter came up to him and asked him how it felt, and I quote, to be on that side of the field now. And he responded saying, you know, ask me later. It's still kind of weird for him because, you know, it's his alma mater and he coached there. So it's not exact, like, he obviously enjoyed his win because, you know, he's with South Carolina now, and we should all respect that. But, you know, he's still got feelings for Florida. I'm sure he still roots for Florida in his off time.
Still has those demons gnawing at him from the inside right there.
He still has feelings for Florida. What is this? Is this like a lost relationship? I still have feelings.
It's an ex-lover. It's not a lost relationship. I mean,
it's his alma mater. You can never give up your alma mater.
He's longing for.
I mean, I bet even Bobby Bowden still has feelings for Samford.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
Okay, Will.
To go along,
Santa Claus still exists, right?
This is a family show, Griffin. Do not
don't go there, right?
Do not do that kind of stuff. Santa Claus is very alive and very real for many of our listeners. So, yeah, going along with the coaching theme that Will touched on, I will talk about Steve Addazio, who set out and made it his goal to insult the intelligence of all 90,885 people.
That was his goal. Saturday night. That's, he probably put that on paper.
I wonder how upset I can make these people.
You're right. I agree, Joe. Absolutely.
Because, frankly, he isn't doing anything else. Well, I mean, nothing that works anyway. You know, there comes a point where you have to evaluate John Brantley as a quarterback, and you say, you know what? This guy cannot run the option. And you know what? In terms of passing, maybe we shouldn't throw a halfback screen every single time. It's okay to go down the field every once in a while, especially when you have a pro-style quarterback, as Brantley was hyped up to be. Don't get me started on Brantley. I'm not very happy with him in the quarterback position. And then Addazio proceeds to, you know, just spit in our faces, really, by running in Jordan Reed and then running the same consecutive play, Reed up the middle, three times in a row, and then sends him in on 4th and 2 and sends him up the middle again. Okay? That won't even work against Appalachian State this week. If you keep running the same play, we even saw it with Tebow last year. You know, you can only send Tebow up the middle so many times before he gets stopped. Same goes for Reed. and it happened, you know, this weekend. You know, it's just, words cannot even describe what is wrong with Steve Addazio's play calling. I frankly have so much more to say on the matter that I have nothing else to say. Griffin?
You know, I'm going to touch on Brantley, really. I mean, you know, you hit on Addazio. Will just hit on the whole sloppiness as a whole. I'm just going to hit on Brantley. I don't understand why we didn't do, your trademarked quarterback carousel, Joe. I don't understand. You know, we put in Jordan Reed, and we did the same stuff with him. We did the exact same play. Why didn't we put, Brantley under the shotgun and then switch with Burton real quick to confuse him and, look downfield? Why didn't we do something like that? We didn't do any of that this game. All the stuff that worked for us against Vanderbilt and for Georgia, we didn't do against one of our major opponents. The opponent we knew we had to come out playing, full strength. We didn't do anything like that, So they saw that it worked at the Georgia game, and we still came off firing for that in the Vandy game. So then they just stopped what was working. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Of course, Brantley really proved himself in the receiving game. he really showed his true colors. I think when we do run the quarterback carousel, if we ever decide to do that again, when Burton goes under quarterback, maybe we should throw it to Brantley. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, he always just kind of goes out wide, and people just kind of ignore him.
He just kind of goes there, and he's just kind of hanging out here and just like, okay, I'll just sit here. It's like, well, apparently he's got, the one arm like catch like to save the game. It's, not at the right moment, though. It just kills me, because if any other receiver dove out and made a catch like that, you'd be like, oh my God, that's the best catch I've seen in a long time. You know you would. That was out of context. It was an amazing catch. If you saw that, you'd be like, that was a great catch. How did he make that? But when Brent, you just see it and you're like, no. No.
Why would you even go for that?
Why would you even? I'm sorry. This is a radio show, and I'm not talking. I'm just so upset right now.
You know what quarterback does have a receiving touchdown? Kyle Parker. From C.J. Spiller. Last year.
C.J.
Spiller. Yeah, C.J. Spiller.
Really dropping ACC knowledge here.
Uh-oh.
Well, I just thought it was interesting.
Dropping the ACC.
That's just another quarterback that has, positive receiving yards.
I didn't know they still played football in the ACC. Yeah, I was talking to my cousin Daniel after the game like I normally do, and he wanted me to bring up what he said. Even with the quarterback carousel, it becomes predictable after a while. Even Vanderbilt picked up on the fact that, whenever Brantley's in, we're gonna blitz. Whenever Burton's in, we're gonna stack the box and stop the run. And it just, nothing is working right now. And as I've said before, I'll say it again: you got to decide on one quarterback, and that quarterback has to be Jordan Reed. But another tidbit that Urban Meyer mentioned in his Monday press conference was that this team the offense lacked energy. And that has to be very disturbing for the Gator Nation, that with the SEC East on the line, despite how awful the season's gone, you still have a chance to make something out of your season. You're at home. Urban Meyer specifically requested the fans to go nuts and to wear blue for you guys, and you lack energy. You can blame bad coaching. You can blame, a lack of talent, which there certainly isn't. But if you have a lack of energy on a stage like this, it's just pathetic. Straight up pathetic.
Yeah, the thing is that just kills me is these players are acting like they're defeated. They have their head down. They're sulking. They're acting like they're a defeated team, but they're not a defeated team. They're letting...
They are now.
Well, they are now. They are now, absolutely, because they made themselves that way. When they still had a chance, they get one or two touchdowns behind, and they start, moping around the field.
Exactly.
They weren't beaten. They beat themselves, They weren't a defeated team. They weren't any kind of horrible team, but they let these losses and all the things add up. And, I'm sure they see stuff in the news. Everybody sees these things in the news. I'm sure they see it even more. So just the things that people are saying about, oh, Addazio is horrible, and, I hate Brantley, and, like the things that people say, like, I hate this person, I hate that person, these guys suck. The fact that the players are going to see this day in and day out, they got to be able to phase this stuff out. Because if they plan on going anywhere other than college, pro or anything, they're going to be seeing a lot more of this. And if they're letting them get to it that much, which is, I know that's what happened. They let it get under their skin, and they act like, oh, God, we're such a horrible team. They acted just like a defeated team. They act like they were broken, and they weren't broken. They weren't defeated. But the way they played made it seem like they let that get to them. And it just became a self-fulfilling prophecy. They thought they were broken. They thought they were beaten, so they were. It's that simple.
You know, Going off that Monday press conference, I'm going to use that to segue into our fourth and one topic. Mm-hmm. Meyer announced that Steve Adazio will be returning as the offensive coordinator next season. Adazio said that he expects to return, and Brantley debunked rumors that he was transferring. I had no idea where that came from. Got our hopes up for nothing.
I'm sure it was just somebody was like, it was probably somebody, I hope Brantley transfers, and then it turns to Brantley's transferring. You know how internet rumors started.
Right. And then Meyer insisted that Brantley is the starter, the starting quarterback, and he will be for the immediate future. So, fourth and one, here we go. Steve Adazio will last longer as the offensive coordinator than John Brantley will as the starting quarterback. So, you know what? I'm going to throw this one to Griffin first.
Steve Adazio, we're saying that Steve Adazio will be here.
Will be the offensive coordinator longer than Brantley will be the starting quarterback.
I'm going to have to say that he will be. I'm going to have to go for it on that one. Okay. Because as much as Adazio sucks, Brantley's going to be graduating soon. I don't think it's because one is better than the other. I just think it's because Brantley's going to be graduating in another year or so. And I just think that's it. I've said all I can say about both of these people. I don't like either of them. I don't think that either of them are working. You know, I think Brantley's a great athlete. I think he's a good quarterback, you know, sort of. But he's just not our quarterback. He could be somebody else's quarterback, and he could do well, but he's not our quarterback. And maybe Adazio could do somewhere else under a different coaching staff or a different team. Or,
No.
I mean, I'd love to give him to maybe Florida State and let him, you know, maybe just – I mean, I think they could use a really – quality offensive coordinator. Like maybe I think something like Florida State or maybe Georgia could just really do well with him. Love to sick him on some of the, like that, someone like that. But I mean, he's just not our offensive coordinator. You know, he's not what we need. So it's just the lesser of the two evils in this sense. I just think it's a thing of numbers, not someone's better than the other. Brantley's going to graduate soon, so Adazio will be here longer.
Yeah, if Mark Richt ends up getting fired. Adazio does have head coaching experience, be it 2 months, but he's got it. So, Georgia, he's all yours.
So, yeah, go for him, guys.
Will.
All right, you know, I'm going to go for it, too. I basically agree with Griffin on the same points. You know, John Brantley's already a junior. You know, he's started as a junior. And he's only got one more year to go after this one. And, you know, actually... even if, like, he is benched, like, just further proves the point that Steve Adazio is going to last longer. There was an interesting article written on Gatorade.com the other day, you know, that actually talked about how Urban Meyer has this loyalty problem, where although it has its good times and there are appropriate places for it, it also has its strong weaknesses where... Once he puts faith in someone, he can't let go, i.e. Steve Adazio, i.e. John Brantley. Steve Adazio is known to be a very good friend of Urban Meyer, and because of that, he's blinded to the poor quality of his coaching, shall I say. So for that reason, Steve Adazio is going to last longer. If purely just on the loyalty standpoint, he's going to be there longer just because he can be. John Brantley can't stay at Florida forever.
All right, well, I appreciate the plug, Will, in the article. Yeah, you know, when I think about this topic, when we came up with it today, you know, it seems that sanity has to prevail sometime. I mean, Urban Meyer, he's a 2-time national champion. The guy is not a moron. I mean... you know, you just have to think, you would have to assume that sometime you got to love someone enough to let them go. Let them go.
What is it with the relationship quotes tonight?
You know,
I think Spurrier still has some feelings for Florida. You got to love somebody to let them go.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's just.
We're going to start serenading each other, guys?
You know, here's the thing. I'm going to say Brantley lasts longer than Adazio. 99% because it's wishful thinking, and 1% because Brantley's uncle, Scott Brantley, the recently inducted in the Georgia-Florida Hall of Fame,
Oh, yeah, he's a booster. We saw that when we were at the game. That was interesting.
He's a booster. And
Yeah,
and he's also a Florida radio personality. So, you know, Brantley's uncle has influence. So Brantley will be starting quarterback longer. And somehow, some way, Urban Meyer will get some sort of knock on the head, or he'll wake up in the middle of the night in the cold sweat and realize, oh my gosh, the offense is terrible.
I mean, maybe he'll realize it.
They only scored 14 points against South Carolina.
Don't even say that. Oh, don't even say it.
7 against Mississippi State.
Hurts. I think chemistry felt better than that.
Oh, don't bring academics into this, man. But, yeah, so I'm going to punt on that one.
Okay.
Mainly out of wishful thinking, some part of that devil's advocate, and then just one thing. I don't know. They should both go. You know? Can I go for it and punt at the same time?
Can you do fake punt? Are we going to do a fake punt? He's going to line up for a punt, but really go for it?
Yeah, Chaz Henry's going to throw a bomb to Deontay Thompson, and then he'll drop it.
John Brantley doesn't throw long passes.
No,
Deontay Thompson would just drop it.
Yeah, but, all right. Well, we're very excited to introduce our very first basketball segment. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yes, Gatorade.com. We'll be covering basketball, if you've noticed, those of you who visit the site. And Florida had a big matchup with number 4. Okay, I'm going by the Associated Press poll. So
you're going by the AP poll?
Yeah, so number 9, Florida had a huge matchup with number 4, Ohio State, tonight. Mm-hmm. And after a great first half, they got hammered.
Yeah, they kind of petered out a little bit.
Yeah. You know, in the article on Gatorade.com, I discussed how Ohio State was a big rebounding team with Jared Sullivan and Dallas Lauderdale at the forward positions, and how Florida had to control the paint. Well, first half, Florida did a great job of controlling the paint. Vernon Macklin did really well matching up against those guys. Same with Patrick Young, the freshman, and Alex Tyus, even, who, you know, was kind of a limber fellow to be playing down low. But, mm-hmm. you know, they out-rebounded them 19-8, you know, and things were looking good. Florida led by 3. But then Sullivan exploded in the second half. 26 points, 10 boards. Gators lose 93-75. So, you know, Will, what were your thoughts on the game?
To me, only one word can really describe this game: disappointing. Florida had the game. They were in control in the first half. Like you said, 19-8 rebounds. You know, when you have that kind of control, you should be – they should have been up more at the half with those kind of rebounds. Like, you know, ideally, maybe even if it's just 50% of those, you would have been up a lot more than they would have had. You would have had at least, you know, 16 points above them with that kind of rebounding. But, you know, they didn't. They kind of let themselves down. They played sloppily. They played a lot more sloppily than their talent has. You know, you see that a lot in young teams. You see it in teams that are just coming off like a bad year and they still need to get things together. And that's exactly what happened with Florida, you know. In the second half, I saw a team that wasn't the same team that came out in the first half. even though the first half wasn't even a team that should have come out at all. They had the chance to beat Ohio State. They had the chance to move up in the polls. They had a chance to prove that they were a team that could make up for the football program.
This was a big win that could boost the RPI around tournament time and just laid an egg.
Yeah. Honestly, not even that many people showed up for the game. It was around 12,000 people, I think, maybe 17,000. You know, the O'Connell isn't that big to begin with, but, you know, you would have thought that more people would have come for Ohio State, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was really just a letdown, especially since, you know, they had the opportunity to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, Griffin.
Yeah. I think on this game, it's just, I'm sitting here looking at some stats, and they just, I mean, of course, the points show this, but, I mean, they just outperformed us. Like, you know, they had less personal fouls than we did. They had a total of 22 assists for their players when we only had 11 assists. The thing that jumps off the page at me is that while we were both about around 60% of our field goals made versus our field goals attempted, we had 49 attempted field goals. They had 62 attempted field goals. Let me tell you one thing right now. As cliche as this is, it's true. 100% of the shots that you don't take don't go in. We attempted 49 field goals. They attempted 62. Just the fact of putting the ball in the air more, they're going to score more points than us. It's that simple. We're not going to score if we don't even shoot, you know? True, we beat them out on rebounds, but our turnovers, you know, we had 18 turnovers to their 8. Of course they're going to capitalize off that and just turn around and just run all over us. It was just the things that I saw. Just, I don't know a lot about basketball, but I know you're supposed to catch the ball when it's passed to you. You know, you're not supposed to fall straight down when you're running towards the you know, when you're running towards the basket. And we needed, the main thing that I saw that would have helped, other than just the sloppy plays, we needed to just take a step and just calm down and set up a play. We would get a turnover, we go sprinting down court, you know, we'd get all pumped up, and we'd, you know, try to throw it off, do a layup or a pass or something like that, and we'd get pumped up. But what the boys needed to do is they needed to just settle in, let a play develop, and when you let that play develop, it'll all work itself out. Because I know there's the talent there. We have the talent to let those plays work and to let that happen. But I didn't see much of that. It looked like we were in a rush the entire time. In football, you can run the hurry-up offense, and you can get the momentum going. And the more momentum you get, the better you do. But basketball is not a game like that. Basketball, you can't hurry. I mean, you can get momentum, but you can't keep hurrying up and be in a hurry and rushed, because you're just gonna be, you know, you're not gonna be complete. You're not gonna be technical. You got to be very focused in basketball. You got to let plays develop, and you got to put people in the right places. And I didn't see much of that at all tonight.
Yeah, earlier Will threw out the idea that Florida may be a little overrated, and, you know, after watching tonight's game, that definitely is a very good point. And, you know, also it's important to consider that this team, although experienced, doesn't have a good experience, if you will. First 2 years finished NIT bids. Last year they finally cracked the surface, made it to the NCAA tournament, and then lost in the first round. So, you know, while they're an experienced group, they're not a winning group. And, you know, they came into the preseason. You know, they're very talented, no doubt. But, you know, these guys just aren't exactly, you know, the grizzled championship veterans. They're just guys who have been around a while and have, you know, maybe somewhat solid chemistry. You know, here's what Billy Donovan pretty much told the whole story after the game. He said, "We got a lot of preseason hype, but we have a long way to go. We're totally undisciplined." And, you know, discipline is a huge deal in any sport, you know. And if you're going to be ranked, if you have championship aspirations, SEC and national championship aspirations, as the preseason hype that accompanied the Gators mentioned, then you got to have discipline. And if Billy Donovan will publicly say this team's undisciplined, then that's a very long road for them to go. But, yeah, the Gators will play North Carolina A&T on Thursday night, barring an apocalyptic.
Was the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind booked?
I'm sorry?
Was the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind booked? So we had to schedule them in?
They're playing Florida State.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Got it.
Yeah, so we're playing North Carolina A&T Thursday night at the O'Connell Center. So hopefully Gators can rebound in that one. But
you were scaring me before you said A&T.
UNC, wow.
North Carolina, oh no!
Yeah.
Not good.
All right, well, shifting back to football. Sorry for jerking our listeners, not viewers, we're not video. Sorry for jerking
our listeners. We got faces for radios, boys.
Yeah, so the Gators play Appalachian State this weekend, the Giant Slayers, the David of college football, if you will. Everyone remembers the upset of Michigan in Ann Arbor 2007, so... You know, we were doing some research beforehand, and so Will's just going to read out some pretty cool stats about Appalachian State.
So, bring it, Will.
Fire away.
So, first off, Appalachian State is one part of or outright the Southern Conference the last 6 years now. Wow. And that's record tying in the conference. Additionally, they have 36.3 points per game, which is fourth in the FCS. They had three straight national championships from 2005 to 2007. They have 7 victories against FBS opponents and the first ones ever to beat a nationally ranked opponent, which was Michigan in 2007, which Florida also lost to. They are 1-11 against the SEC, which, you know, is good for Florida. Appalachian State and Florida have combined for 5 national titles and 8 conference titles in the last 5 years, and the Gators are 11-0 against FCS teams, averaging 50-8.
Well, there's a first time for everything, and quite honestly, I would not be surprised if we have a lot of trouble Saturday.
Yeah, so basically what those stats were kind of saying to me is that while, you know, they're rather undefeated, or they're rather...
They have one loss.
They're rather defeated against, the SEC teams.
Oh.
And Florida is undefeated against their conference, the Appalachian State Conference teams. It's still showing that there's some very, very positive things on both sides of the ball. It should actually be an interesting game, of course. I do have to comment on what you said, Joe. You know, you consider them the Giants Slayer. Well, we don't have to worry about that because we're Giants by no means. So it's not like it's not like we have some kind of hype that it's like going to be a huge upset. It's like if they beat us, everybody's going to be like, well, oh well.
It's David versus David.
David versus David here. It's like...
That would really just kind of be, you know, like the nail in the coffin if we lost.
Maybe we need it. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it could be the hatchet to get Adazio fired.
Gifton in
disguise?
Yeah.
Gifton.
Blessing in disguise.
Blessing in disguise.
No,
blessing in
a curse. There was like a specific phrase I had in my mind that I lost.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's our show. Be sure to check out Gatorade.com. Absolutely. R-A-I-D.
Not the sports drink.
Yeah, not the sports drink.
And don't forget, it's either Joe or I that will have to wear the respective team's colors after the SEC championship.
Yeah, Griffin's wearing LSU.
Well, I'm wearing it no matter what, just because it's already there.
Feel free to say who you'd rather wear the shirt.
Yeah.
Comment all over and leave a, you know, let's start a poll or something. Somebody let us know.
On the Facebook page, just I'll create a post and feel free to leave your SEC championship predictions as well as... giving your thoughts on who you'd rather see wear a rival shirt on campus. I think it'd be more interesting to see Will wear a South Carolina shirt around campus.
I disagree.
Campus.
But see, I personally just, this is my unbiased, not just because I'm angry about the loss. I'm just saying, I think I want to see Will wear a South Carolina shirt, and I want to be with him when he does that, just because we haven't played Auburn yet this season.
How about?
We played South Carolina. We lost pretty miserably, so to see Will with that shirt on, I think that'd be more satisfying because of the loss.
How about we up the stakes a little bit?
How about
if we all continue wearing the same team's shirts and stuff, but I will wear a jersey that says Go Cox on the back, and you could wear a Cam Newton jersey.
Yeah, like, I was just thinking about that. Like, you know, if I were to wear a Cam Newton shirt... I don't know if I have the budget for that, but you know, I could probably incorporate like Newton for Heisman or something
just,
like that.
Just like draw it in marker or something.
Yeah, but
I guess we got to find something offensive about LSU. But I mean, I don't know if there is anything that's that offensive.
Les Miles.
Yeah, done. Problem solved.
Yeah, lucky.
I heart Les Miles.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is our show. Be sure to check out the Gatorators. I mean, the SEC championship game. In the first weekend of December, and Florida plays Appalachian State this weekend. That game's a pay-per-view one, but honestly, after last week, I'm sure
nobody's
going to
pay, but
yeah.
It'll be there if you are dying for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, or you can listen right here on Gatorade.com. Thank you for listening, and
go Gators!